Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and you're listening to my show, and I'm glad you're here. Stephen Kuhl is here. Stephen is a chartered financial analyst. He's responsible for the financial institutions and strategic partnerships at the Western Union Business Solutions Group. He's been working in this world for a number of decades. It means he's very smart and an expert. He's been hanging out with us now for several years, and he's our good friend, Stephen Kuhl. Welcome back.
Major thanks, Jim. A privilege to be here.
It's good to have you back again, as always. So, as I was telling the audience, I'm convinced that one of the ways we solve problems in the world and get rid of despots and bad actors and get the people more in control of in third world countries than they are now is by doing business across borders, small business to small business. And Frédéric Bastiat, the 19th century French economist, said, when goods cross borders, armies don't. And we now have the ability to do that in a much more micro way, in a much more elegant way today than ever before, not only just because of the technology, but because of the ability to get paid. And that's where you guys come in. Tell us about some of the trends that you're seeing that will help that.
Well, yeah, first and foremost, you're right, Jim, as an extension of kind of the human relationship. You know, the small business really is the mosaic, if you think about it. And here in the U.S., of course, we have an excess of 300,000 small to mid-sized businesses, small to mid-sized enterprises who are exporting, as an example. And, mm-hmm. you know, exports as a percent of GDP is in that vicinity of 12-13%. But a lot of folks don't realize, they assume that, you know, it's the big multinationals that comprise the majority of exporters. Furthest from the truth, 98% of exporters here in the U.S. are small businesses. And really, that's a statistic that takes folks back. But, you know, tying it into the significance is really when you think about that diversity, that immense number of exporters around the country, there's kind of a built-in resiliency diversification, if you will, with that. And to your point on the formation of human relationships, you know, certainly the micro enterprises are the ones that really adapt the quickest from an exporting standpoint. Mm-hmm. And I was really pleased, Jim, to see with the you know, the recent U.S.-Mexico-Canada free trade agreement, some are referring as NAFTA kind of 2.0. But, you know, I think for the first time ever, there was a chapter devoted specifically to small, mid-sized enterprise promotion. And I think that's a major, major coup and some of the embedded benefits, you know, within that agreement in particular will really be beneficial with the passage of time.
And, you know, Stephen, one of my favorite stories to tell is I know a Tennessee company that sells salsa to supermarkets in Mexico. A Tennessee company selling Tennessee salsa in Mexico. Now, how funny is that? How amazing is that?
That is kind of the quintessential example. I mean, most of these, when you break down the small to mid-sized businesses that I cited earlier, kind of in aggregate, you know, by far the majority of these are less than 20 employees. So they are, they definitely are really small businesses.
Well, there's no question about it. And of course, most of us, when we start doing this, we turn to a financial institution to help us out with the clearing and making sure we get paid and making sure that the handshakes happen when they're supposed to happen with regard to the product delivery and the acceptance and the quality of the delivery and then getting paid. I mean, this is one of the big things that holds back small businesses is, you know, small businesses live a lot closer to their cash flow than big companies do. And most people can't afford to have their money strung out across the country, our country, and then across another country. especially if it goes across, you know, across water. We have to be play things that are a lot closer to the vest. And this is where our bank, our financial institutions are helping. We need them to help us. So what are community banks coming, picking up the pace on this?
Yeah, absolutely. And it hasn't happened overnight. And there's a, you know, perhaps been a little bit of a lagged effect and maybe awareness, recognizing that, hey, you can't really isolate international from, you know, your domestic bread and butter traditional community bank and credit union offering. But I think what we're seeing now really is kind of a renaissance of thought there. And the community bank landscape is changing now quick with respect to adopting new international services. So you're seeing more and more in the community banks around the country, you know, bringing a digitally competent international offering to their clients. And by that, I mean, if you look in the past half decade, you would have noticed that, boy, a lot of community banks either did not offer the basic services like international payments, mm-hmm. Foreign exchange, risk management, et cetera. Now they are, but more so, they're moving away from at least exclusively a branch in telephonic where, at a minimum, it's balanced, where clients can access as they want, whether it's online, mobile, UI apps, et cetera. So I am noticing that is building up steam.
Well, and of course, one of the best things they could do would be to find an organization like yours and just plug you in. Just you be their international payments module, right?
That's exactly exactly. We are the behind the scenes friendly partner. It allows a community bank to really maintain carte blanche their relationships. We essentially are that technology systems infrastructure provider that allows them to benefit from our worldwide economies of scale that they can extend out to their client base so that their client base can access the same services that they need and they want that larger institutions globally are offering. That's exactly
right.
Well,
I'd like to encourage community bankers to get out in your community, get out and talk to people and ask them, A, how much international business are you doing? You might be surprised to find some. You probably would be. And B, how much would you do if you had more help? And what can I do to help you? I mean, community bankers, they got to get out and drum up the customers. And more, it's international. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, one of the things I'm going to ask Stephen is, what is he learning? What is his organization learning about the international world, international trade? And now in the time when we're facing this potential pandemic, this coronavirus thing, we'll respond to that after the break. 20 after, Stephen Cooler is our guest. He's with Western Union.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.